This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
It is a beautiful day, and I am so thankful to be with you today. But I have to tell you, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle since last Friday. And I'm going to tell you, because I just want to be vulnerable with you. Is that okay? That's what this show's about, is being vulnerable and transparent. Because if we need help, we need to know that we can ask for it. We ask the Lord, and we can ask those that the Lord puts in our path to give us the help we need and the guidance we need, and maybe just to pick us up. So a little bit about what's happened with me. And I normally don't go into things like this, but I'm going to because I think it's really important. Last Friday, I had appointment after appointment after appointment, and I got in my car, and I had the first appointment in Laguna, and I had to drive all the way from the valley all the way to Laguna. And I pictured my time frame, and I thought I had planned out well and gave myself extra time, right? And so I'm on the freeway, and it took me a half hour to go 2 miles. So then I'm going to the address on my phone, new phone, right? So I'm learning operator error maybe, but I couldn't get my address to come up, so the nav system wouldn't work. And so here I am more frustrated because I can't figure out where I'm going. I know where Laguna is, and so I had an idea of where I was going, but not exactly where I needed to go. And isn't that true in life sometimes, that we don't always know exactly where we're going? And sometimes that can get us off course, can't it? So that's a little side note there. So I'm driving, and I'm sitting in traffic. And during the sitting in traffic, you know, I have my office in my car, and I'm talking on the phone. Yes, Bluetooth, hands-free. But I'm talking on the phone, and it had to do with something very, very serious. And so I'm talking to a lawyer about some things with the business and so on and so forth, and trying to get all the facts straight and whatnot. So, you know, I don't know if you can picture this, but, you know, my emotions and everything are getting higher and higher. Finally, I realized that I had reached my limit. Now, I'm 57 years old, and I've never done this before. I don't know if you have, and it's okay. We can forgive each other, right? But I screamed. I screamed at the top of my lungs because I needed to release some of this pressure out, and I didn't know how else to do it but to scream. Now, my car has my logos all over it, and so people that were sitting in their cars next to me must have thought I was totally crazy, and maybe for a moment I felt like I was, but I had to let this out, and so I did. And, you know, I had this conversation with God. Have you ever done that? I'm sure you have. And if you haven't, you should, because he's there and he will listen and he's awake all the time, which is really a nice thing and comforting to know that he's awake 24/7 to hear whatever it is you've got bothering you or troubling you or just questions you might have. You can always ask him, because he says to do that. Ask and you shall receive, right? So anyway, moving forward. After that, I called my sister. I love my sister, Darcy. She's just so wonderful. And I called her and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I just lost it." And she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, you know." And so I actually, in between appointments, I had a little time. So I actually drove to her place, which wasn't too far away after I went to my other appointment. I ended up getting in front of her house and I rolled my seat back. And before I knew it, I was out. I was asleep in my car. Never done that. And she said, "I didn't have the heart to wake you up, and so I left you there." And then I looked at my watch when I woke up, and it was time for me to leave again to go to the women's night out. So I went to the women's night out, and this is after, you know, all of these things going on. And I get there, and I have to tell you, I did not want to be there. Have you ever done that where you've committed, but then you just really don't want to be there because you don't feel like you should be there because of all the things that have happened up to that point? And I went there, and it was such a blessing for me. You know, I was there, and I'm supposed to help others, right? But I got the blessing because I was there, and I was around women, and the people on the stage and the message they had. I had invited people to come, and they came, and it was just beautiful and wonderful. And sometimes the biggest sacrifices we have, sometimes the biggest turmoil we have, it's always before. There's a storm before, you know, the rainbow. And I felt like I was suffering through the storm, and then I get to this place and it was beautiful. But sometimes we might turn around and we might not go, right? Have you ever been there where you don't go because there's so much happening? You're just going, I can't take anymore. I've just got to turn around and go back. And you miss it. You might miss it. And we have to push through because there's something on the other side that maybe the devil doesn't want us to experience. So we need to push through it, right? So I did. So moving forward, Saturday, I am walking my dog, and a gentleman calls me back, and he's interviewing for a position as I'm walking my dog. Okay, I'm walking my dog, I'm interviewing. So he decides that what he heard, he wanted more of, so he decided to come in and meet with me this morning, and so he did. But when I walked into my office this morning, guess what I discovered? A gentleman in the same office where I was hiring another person because I needed three more people, a person quit with no notice. Okay, that affected me. Why? Because not because he didn't give notice. That's one thing. Being considerate is really important. But because I had really reached out to this person and I had gone the extra mile to help with financial issues and whatnot to try to get him on track. And his way of thanking me, in my opinion, was to say, I'm sorry, but this is too much for me and I'm just going to quit. And so that really hurt me emotionally, just in so many ways. So I interviewed this new gentleman, and this gentleman is so on fire and ready to work and so excited that I feel like, you know, a door closes, a window opens. And so here's one out, one in. I'm no further ahead, although I am, because the attitude on this gentleman is great. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're just tuning in, I just want to let you know that if you know somebody that might need to hear the message that we have today, you can go to Sue Free, spelled like fries, one word, .com. Go there. There are podcasts for 4.5 years by date, by guest, by ministry, by subject matter. And also there's Helping Hands. If you want to know who you are according to Christ, you can go there and print out the I ams from Christ, what he says you are, because that's more important than what anybody on this earth says you are, is what Christ says and who Christ says you are. So go there and download those, and I suggest that you read those every day, and I can tell you that it will change your life just by reading what Christ says, because his words, they just can do so much for empowering you and helping you heal from any wounds that we have, because we all have them. Some are bigger than others, but they're still wounds and they need to be healed. And he is the almighty healer, and he'll heal whatever you have troubling you and your past. So I have this new gentleman, and he's so fired up and he wants to start. So then I leave that, and I have an advertising gentleman who works with me, and he came in and we're talking about manpower and issues like that. And then I have to deal with escrow because I just purchased a new building, and so I'm going through the escrow process of this new building in Anaheim. I'm very excited about this new building in Anaheim because it's centrally located, and it's going to just, I don't know, it's going to be so great, but there's things that I have to do in order to make that all happen. So then after that, I went to a chamber meeting, which I normally can't go to, and there is a purpose for all of this. I'm telling you, there is. Stay tuned. I went to the chamber meeting, and at the chamber meeting, I sat next to, no coincidence, there is no such thing as a coincidence as when God decides to stay anonymous, and I sat next to this gentleman. And I told him that I had a radio show on KKLA, and he happened to be a Christian. And he said, oh, there's this gentleman I want you to meet because he talks about the workplace and whatever. And he brought up a scripture for me that I was not familiar with. And we need to memorize scripture because they are what we cling to, and it helps us get through tough times. So he told me about a scripture that I wasn't familiar with, and it was Ephesians 3:20. And I said, oh, I cannot wait to go to 3:20 because I want to read what the scripture says, because there's power in God's word. So when I came into KKLA, I asked if they could print out Ephesians 3:20 for me. And the lady at the front desk said, sure, I'll be happy to do that. So she did. And I want to read what it says. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So that's wonderful, isn't it? This gentleman I meet at a chamber meeting mentions this scripture. I research and go and look up the scripture. And when she was printing it out, I was thinking to myself, I wonder what it says right before this, because it's important that we get the befores and the afters of a scripture, because it kind of gives the full story, or at least more of the story. And so I didn't have the heart to ask her to print more, so I didn't. So then I went to my little faithful book that I read out of, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence by Sarah Young. And I went to the date that we're on, and I read. And when I read, which I'm going to read to you right now, it says, "Be still in the light of my presence while I communicate love to you. There is no force in the universe as powerful as my love. You are constantly aware of limitations, your own and others. But there is no limit to my love. It fills all of space, time, and eternity. Now you see through a glass darkly, but someday you will see my face to face. Then you will be able to experience fully how wide and long and high and deep is my love for you. If you were to experience that now, you would be overwhelmed to the point of feeling crushed. But you have an eternity ahead of you, absolutely guaranteed, during which you can enjoy my presence in unrestricted ecstasy. For now, the knowledge of my loving presence is sufficient to carry you through each day." Isn't that great? Now, there's always a verse, a scripture that goes with the writing. And I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to tell you where that scripture is, and you are going to be amazed at God. All right? Are you ready for this? "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long, high, deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And guess what the scripture is? Are you ready for this? Ephesians 3:16 through 19. Is that the strangest thing ever? Not really, because God is so good. But it's just amazing to me. That whole story was leading up to that. This man I meet at a Chamber of Commerce meeting tells me about Ephesians 3:20. And then I go to read out of the book for today's message, and it's Ephesians 3:16 through 19. Wow, that is just amazing to me. All right, so I just wanted to share that with you because I think it is amazing. So I have a guest with me today, and my guest was brought to me by a lady named Kate Law. She's the one that she emailed me, and she says, "There's this lady that I heard at a conference, and she's wonderful, and I just want you to meet her, and I think she should be on your show," because I'm always asking for people to give me people that want to be on the show or people that would like to sponsor the show. Anyway, this lady told me about this lady, who her name is Maureen Schaefer. So I did not meet Maureen Schaefer before today, and she walks in, come to find out, she has a show on Sunday on KKLA, and I had no idea. But this, again, is how God works, isn't it? He's so amazing. So Maureen, I'm just going to let you give a little bit of background about your struggles and life and whatnot. If you could just share that with the listeners so they can get a feel for who you are and struggles you've gone through. And welcome for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. You know, it's such a privilege for us to echo the prophet who just says, you know, you didn't really want to speak. And the Lord just said, you know, open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I just can't speak up. But I encourage you, you know, to be people who are just open. You know, when Peter got out of that boat, you know, he'd never done it before and saw, I never even saw it happen before, but he went out and did it. And so it is an honor to be here to know that the Lord has directed our paths and has a purpose, you know, for us to be together today. A little bit of my background is my husband is a senior pastor at First Love Calvary Chapel in Whittier. And I got saved when I was 16 years old. I was in a very liturgical denomination, and I always had the fear of God. But I'd never heard the gospel that you're truly saved by grace through faith, that Jesus had done the whole work. And finally, it just bonked me on the head, and I realized this tremendous gift that God was going to give me through a tremendous work that his son had done for me. And I became born again, and I just wanted to serve the Lord my whole life. And as I grew in the Lord, I went to college. You know, he has a way of getting your attention and showing you this is just not it. And he draws you into a deeper walk. And we all have that sense of there's just more than getting a degree and getting married and having 2.5 kids and a dog and a cat, if you're into cats or not allergic to them. And I just said, you know, I remember I was even dating a guy at the time. And he said, so, you know, what do you think it's going to be like when we get married? And I go, I don't think we're going to get married. He goes, why? I go, because you're successful. You have your master's degree. We're going to have a really nice house in Rancho Bernardo, but that's just dumb. Like, that's just not what I was created for. I just sensed this calling. It was neat because I had a real good long time of waiting on the Lord to know what it was to be in a good, healthy relationship, and the Lord brought me a really great brother in Christ, and we just wanted to serve the Lord together. You know, two are better than one. They have a good return for their labor. So we got married, and we just enjoyed serving the Lord for many, many years. And you know, when you get married, you're going to grow old together. You have those plans, and we thought, oh, we'll get an RV. We'll be one of those people with RV, because that's fun. And then we can go around and, you know, teach and stuff. But then one day I was sitting in Nordstrom's Cafe, because I really liked that restaurant, and I had a shooting pain come up over my neck. And I go, oh, what is that? And I felt a lump on my neck. And so a long story short, as an intro, I was diagnosed with a terminal illness, adenoid cystic carcinoma, a rare cancer of the salivary glands. And it doesn't ever go in remission. And when they gathered me together, they said, well, you know, you have ACC. You're going to die from ACC. I remember I told them, you guys have been working here like way too long because you don't know how to deliver news. I mean, even Icky Medicine, they put in an elixir. Mm-hmm. I go, you guys, come on. Let's try it again. Just retell me. I said, you guys got to take some training or something. You know, we were devastated. And so we've been dealing with that since September of 2012 is when I was diagnosed. That's kind of the history. I have four children, one grandchild, a little granddaughter in Texas, and currently just really using the time that I have left to run the race that is set before me, not the one I picked. Romans doesn't say run the race, the lane you want. It says run the race that's set before you, and God has graciously allowed me to taste the road of cancer, and I just hope that I can just honor him with this incredible gift.
Wow. See, and I thought I had struggles. You know, that's huge. It's really huge. And just sitting here looking at you, you don't look old enough to have four kids. And how old are they?
The oldest is 26, 24, 21, 18.
Wow. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And thank you, San Diegans, all the way up the coast. Thank you for listening in. And you can listen to us by podcast on iHeart. We're on iHeart. I think that's so exciting. So listen in and let's hear more from Maureen about, you know, this whole thing that she's going through. And already I am intrigued. I'm with her. And this is not an experience I've had to deal with. I have people that I love that have experienced, not exactly, but somewhat. And I can tell you that once you have something like this, you're always thinking any hurt, any pain, what is that? And what does that mean? As she said, it's like taking every moment captive, making sure that you make the most of every moment. We talk about that on this show, about making your life count, make every moment count. And when you have something like this, it really puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
Definitely. I think, you know, a lot of people say cancer's like one of the worst things and best things that can happen to you. And, you know, the Lord is clear. He says in his word, the psalmist cries out and says, teach me to number my days so that I will apply my heart towards wisdom. And it wouldn't say teach me if we did it naturally, because I think we all have this immortal sense in ourselves, you know, but which is true because we're going to live forever on the other side, one place or another. But the frailty of life and the fact that you really aren't, everybody says, well, everybody knows you're not going to live another day. But, you know, people are putting money in retirement accounts because they think they're going to Ireland someday. Mm-hmm. And so you mm-hmm. can say that theoretically. Mm-hmm. But when you really have to say, because mine had extensive, it's called paraneural invasion, meaning it had crawled along the nerves in my neck much further than you want it to. And as a result, I lost to a motor nerve and a sensory nerve. So my lower right lip is paralyzed and my tongue is permanently numb. And I lost all my taste buds on the right side. Mm. But I'm really not complaining because it could have been way worse than that. But when you have this situation where it comes in and you have paraneural invasion, then your prognosis goes down. And so it was almost like every time I went to the doctor, once we realized what I had, it was just bad news. And then I'd go in, and it would be, and that. And I'm going, oh my gosh, everything, there's just nothing good. Like, they don't say but. And they said, you know, and statistically, it was about a five-year prognosis. It's been 2 years. Mm. So if this goes the course, which is a very enigmatic cancer, meaning it's unpredictable, it could wait around and just, you know, hang out my body and decide to come a little later. But if it is and it's only 3 years away, then you are facing like, wow. Like, you know, if you watch TV sometimes and you, like Ireland, like you see some advertisement for Ireland, you go, hey, maybe someday I'll go to Ireland. Or, you know, you just, maybe someday I'll take up, you know, piano. But when you think you're going to die in a few years, you realize, you know, I'm probably never going to see Ireland. And I'm probably never going to, and I remember originally I felt like that, I never watched that show, but The Walking Dead or something, like zombies. Mm-hmm. Like you're walking around, everybody else is planning and dreaming, and you're shutting files in your mind. You're saying, this isn't going to happen. And I remember my husband and I were sitting across from each other shortly after diagnosis, and you know, we just started crying because I thought we were going to grow old together. I thought we were going to see our kids grow up and grandchildren. And I remember, you know, and then my husband said, I don't know what I'm going to do because I don't remember anything. And I was counting on us being old and you telling me, remember when we did this? Remember when our kids, he goes, I'm going to grow old and I'm not even going to remember my life because I just knew that you're the woman and women just remember things better. So you kind of bury and you kind of mourn things before you actually even die, because statistically, although I know God can do anything, I have no problem with the ability of God, I just don't know his will. Those things can happen. And then you just live with a very strong sense of what's really important. And I can't waste my time doing things that drain me of energy or distract me. And I definitely do not need to be controlled or led by anyone's expectations on my life, but the Spirit of the living God alone.
And that is a message right there for everyone listening, that, you know, even if you're not struggling with this issue, that message is still loud and clear, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think people have to realize, you know, whether it's cancer or your child's addicted to meth and you had these dreams of them going to college and they end up in some homeless shelter. One of my children was a meth addict. And I remember, you know, with her, one time I found her little 5-year-old picture in my room and I just fell to the floor on my knees going, oh, there was such, but you know, you almost want to throw up because you know, it's like she died because she's not, you know, and she could die any minute. You could get that call.
Right.
And I remember I told the Lord, I go, I just can't do this. And I was crying. And the Lord said, you know what, Maureen, you aren't loving your daughter. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you have to love people in truth and you're loving what you wish she was. And you need to love the meth addict. And I'm going to show you how to love a meth addict. And I said, I don't know how to love a meth addict. He goes, I know, that's why I'm telling you. I'm going to show you how to love her. And I had to grow up and accept truth and walk in truth, because we don't walk in love if we don't walk in truth. And even when you're diagnosed with cancer or anything else, there is just that learning curve and that acceptance curve. I didn't get diagnosed and say, oh, praise God, be glorified in my cancer. Mm. I didn't get there. I mean, mm-hmm. I fell to the floor. I wept. I cried. And I had to get to that point of surrender and acceptance.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and Maureen Schaefer right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare.
But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services, for sponsoring this show. And if you would like to sponsor the show, that is available to you. So just get in contact with me. Go to SueFree, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and connect with me. And really, really, really on any level, connect with me. I love reading your emails. I love reading your suggestions. Anything that you want to talk to me about, just go ahead and I read every single one and I will respond. I do that, okay? And Learning to Breathe, the book that I wrote when I was in a wheelchair and couldn't do much of anything else, I just want to let you know that my son, he's doing great, but he still has asthma. It's not like asthma goes away. But what we do is we learn how to cope. We learn how to avoid or minimize triggers that can cause asthma and other respiratory issues. My book is very informative. I suggest if you know anybody that has an asthma issue, get my book, Learning to Breathe by Sue Freeze. And you can do that by contacting me again by SueFreeze.com. Okay? That's just a side note little commercial, but I need to say that because there's people out there, 1 in every 8 children have asthma. And so it's growing. It's growing, growing, growing. And so we need to take care of our children. So with no further ado, I'm going to go right into Maureen Schaefer again. And oh, my goodness. Maureen, there's so many different directions I could go with this show and with you. And I pray, we prayed before, and I want the Holy Spirit to guide. So I want you to have time on the mic to talk to the people listening, because maybe these are people that wouldn't hear you normally. The Lord has given you a voice. For how long, who knows? But for right now, you have a voice. You play the guitar and sing, and you said when we were in the conference room, you were talking about this little moment in time that you have available, your vocal cords. So I just would love for you to talk to the people listening, and we have all ages and genders listening, and I just want to give the mic to you to say, you know, what you'd like to say to the people listening.
Well, I think that you know, some of you out there are in a situation where someone has tricked you into thinking that following Jesus is the same thing as driving through Jack in the Box. You can just go up to the window and order what you want, and you go up to the window, and if they give you a bag, and if in the bag are items that you'd rather not have, or they put, you know, mustard when you said no mustard, or that you can return it and say, this isn't what I ordered. And that just is not the role of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Some of you, your faith is shipwrecked, and you misjudge God's character because you misjudged what it is to be surrendered and yielded to the God of the universe and his plan for your life. You got kind of served a wrong understanding of what it means to follow Christ. I know when I was diagnosed, I went upstairs that day to my room, and I was, at first I didn't even know what it was, because it's called adenoid cystic carcinoma. Like, who knows what that is? I didn't even know how to spell carcinoma. I remember going, oh, it was wrong, and I had to find out. I know how to spell it now very well. But I typed that in, and I started reading about it, and then it was, okay, sometimes Google is not your best friend. Like, you got to know, pray before you research. But I think I was supposed to research, but you do, because you just never know what you're going to find. And I started reading the prognosis, and I started going, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to live very long. And I was really healthy. I'm a Zumba instructor, and, you know, I'm active, and you know, I've never been sickly at all. My husband was always sick with everything. I'll never forget, he and I were sitting across from another pastor and his wife one time, and the other pastor said, well, you know that Maureen's going to die young and you're going to live forever because the one who's sick gets it all out over all those years and the other person just gets this whopping illness. And I go, well, that you're a great friend to tell me that. But it really did play out like that. And I remember I went upstairs and I was crying, and I said, Lord, I just don't understand. And I did feel like I wanted to be like at Denny's and just send the plate back and say, this isn't what I ordered, or I'm allergic to this or something, or I'm kosher and I can't eat this. Like, I just wanted to send it back. And I remember I was crying before the Lord, and I just said, Lord, I just don't understand. And I just sense the Spirit saying, you don't really have to understand. You know, this isn't a place of understanding. This is a place of trust. And I said, you're right. And he brought me back to a time when I was newly saved. And I was sitting in the back seat of my parents' car, and I had learned a song as a Christian. And some of you might remember this. Some of you don't know this classic. But it said, you know, Father, I adore you. I lay my life before you. How I love you. And you'd do it in rounds, and everybody would sing. And every time I got to the line, lay my life before you, in the back seat of the car as I was singing it, I realized that I was consciously taking that moment and the rest of my life and laying it under his authority and anything he wanted. And I remember thinking, gosh, what if you call me to Zimbabwe or Nigeria or something? Like, I don't know. But no, really, I just lay my life before you wherever you want me to go. And he said, do you remember when we had that dialogue? And, you know, mind you, I was 50 years old when I was diagnosed, and that was 16. I go, I do remember that. Because sometimes if you just are quiet enough to process things in the presence of the Lord, you will be able to pick up his counsel, because he's called the Wonderful Counselor. I said, I do remember that. He goes, so you used to say, what if I send you these foreign lands? He goes, what if I'm sending you to the land of cancer? Would you be willing to go to the land of cancer if more people would be touched? Would you go there? And I just said, I would, and I will, and I'm going to go there. I remember the first week when I got diagnosed, I teach English to international students. And I had a student there who used to see me read my Bible at break. And he was from Japan. He go, you really believe that stuff? I go, believe it? I'm staking my life on this. Yes, I do. And when I was diagnosed that week, the students all found out because I had to leave my job temporarily to face surgery and treatment. He came up to me. He goes, what happened? I explained it to him. And then I saw him at my church on Sunday because it's near the language school. And I looked at him. I said, Philip, what are you doing here? You know, like at the church. And he had a Bible. And he goes, I believe it. I believe it. You believe in Jesus? And he goes, I do. And he said, when you were diagnosed with cancer, I could see like peace in you I've never seen before. And I went home and I started crying. And I said, oh my gosh, somebody got saved just because I got cancer. And I realized, and then I remember too, the Lord said, you always said that you wanted to be just like me. I go, I did. I always said that. And he said, well, what did I do? And he goes, I gave my life, my body, for other people's salvation. What if you can give your body and it's going to result in other people knowing God and escaping judgment and walking into eternal life? Don't you want to be just like me? I said, I do. If I could just die a horrible death, I would be doing what you did. And I realized what an intimacy that Jesus is calling me into, because this particular cancer, before it kills you, it maims you. It tends to travel, they took out my lower palate, and they're watching for it to jump on my tongue. If it jumps on my tongue, then they have to cut my tongue out. If it travels to my eyes, then I get my eye taken out. And, you know, you just kind of get chopped. And there's a lady on the ACC Facebook page. Her face is so maimed, and she has a shirt, and it says, I'm not just another pretty face. I love that attitude. But I realized, wow. And remember, it said that Jesus was beaten beyond recognition, and he had nothing in him that could be desired. And I just realized that really, when I gave my life to Christ, I'm not here for him to make my life wonderful. I'm here to let people know the one who is wonderful. And if, like Paul said, you know, if Christ would be magnified in my death, you know, if more people would come to know, then let me die, basically, he says in Philippians. I'm paraphrasing, but he says, it's better, far better, for me to depart and be with Christ. And I told somebody that. I said, well, when you make my little gravestone, I want you to say, I'm with Christ in a far better place. Just put that on the thing so people don't cry for me. They better cry because they're missing me. That's like a non-negotiable. I really want people to miss me, but they don't need to cry for me. And so, you know, I just want to let you guys out there know that, you know, it may not even be cancer. Like, it may be someone you know that has cancer. Or you may have had a husband that just made some really poor choices and left you as a result. I mean, maybe he was pulled into just a really wrong relationship and departed. And you're thinking, what did I do? Well, I tell people all the time, what did I do? I didn't do anything. This cancer isn't related to environmental factors at this point. They don't know, or any kind of choice I made at this point. Maybe they'll discover something in the future. And we can't always be so narcissistic to think everything that happens is about us, that we have to say, like that little boy did with the fish and the loaves, look, this is all I've got. I want you to use it. If it's cancer, if it's a bad marriage, if it's a drug-addicted child, if it's bankruptcy, if it's a depression, if you're struggling with mental illness, you know, and trying to get the right balance of meds and counseling, and which is, you know, just a horrific road for you, you say, Lord, I'm not gonna push this back and send it back. I'm gonna embrace this, and I'm gonna ask you to take these ingredients. You ever watch Chopped? On the TV, I love it. They get a mystery basket of like weird stuff, like, you know, licorice and a lamb chop and peanut butter, and they say make something out of it. And these chefs can do that. If chefs can do that with peanut butter, licorice, and a lamb chop, when we bring these things before the Lord, and we really surrender, we don't say I don't want this basket of ingredients. You would be surprised at what God can do with your life. Don't compare yourself to other people. I'm going to tell you something. Being a pastor's wife and doing a lot of counseling, you don't know what's going on in people's lives. They look pretty cool on Sunday. They even can quote things like, you know.
Right.
But you don't know what's going on behind. Don't compare yourself. The Bible says do not compare yourself with one another. It's not wise. So I just encourage you to surrender. Surrender, and like Jesus did. He started with, Father, if this cup could pass. Then his next prayer was, well, if it couldn't pass. And then his third prayer was, I'm going to drink it. It was a process of acceptance. And what happened? Aren't we glad he finally decided to drink it, to make it part of his being? Don't reject the cancer, rebuke it. Say, whatever you have, say, this is part of my story. Because Jesus is the best author. And he can take all these weird characters, ingredients, and scenarios and write a story like no other. Embrace it, surrender it, and see what he'll do with it.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show, and you just heard from Maureen Schaefer. And I'm just sitting here in awe. Emotionally, it's crazy. And I just love this woman, and I just met her. So I'm just saying, I don't know if she's touched you, but she's definitely touched me. So, Maureen, I want to ask you, how has this affected your family and your friends?
Well, I always knew who Googled it by the way they responded when they came to my door in the first few days. If they were falling apart, I went, oh, you went on Google, didn't you? You lucked up, adenoid cystic. And other people I knew they hadn't. And also at my particular church, we just have a lot of wonderful Latina people who have mucho pasión. You know, they just express things, you know, so much. And that's a little unusual for my personality, but I really kind of like it because the Bible says weep with those who weep. And, you know, they'd come over and just be crying and crying. And I know my children, it had a great impact on their lives.
How did you tell them?
You know, I wish I could remember, but like any major life event, there's a numbness I think God allows you to have initially, like an airbag.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a little bit of a blur at the beginning. You know, whenever you get hit by a car, you're like, well, how did I end up on the side of the road? And you're disoriented.
Yeah.
So I probably can't recount how I told them.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea. But I saw them, and they each had a different way of responding. I know my daughter, who was the meth addict, and by the way, is not anymore. Yes, we had a prayer meeting every night. I mean, every Wednesday, for like 2 years to just intercede to God to do something in her life, and he did. And I know she had written to me right after I was diagnosed. She had texted me. She was living in an apartment behind us, and she said, Mom, I don't understand. She goes, I lost all those years with you, and I thought I was going to get those back, and now you're slipping away again. And I told her, no, the Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. It's amazing what God can fit in a short amount of time. I mean, look at creation. You know, even if you only had 7 days left to live, a lot could happen.
That's true.
So, you know, don't panic about the quantity. Just seek God for the quality.
Yeah, there you go.
And my kids, they really matured. And my daughter, she goes to Grand Canyon University, my other daughter, and she had just done a speech on how cancer had, her mother's cancer had a really good impact in her life. She had to grow up. And she just, all of my kids got very serious about their relationship with Christ. And they also, like, were really nice to me. They weren't, like, mean to me before, but, you know, kids and parents. They know still that they don't know how long they're going to have me. And they're always touching me and sitting next to me and texting me and telling me all the neat things. And that is a really neat thing, too, about getting a terminal illness, is you get to hear your eulogy all the time before you die. Because everybody feels like they want to tell you what impact you've made on their life because they don't know if they're going to get a chance to do it. And I remember feeling kind of weird about it, like sometimes going, okay, it does kind of feel like I'm at my own funeral, but I think I'll just ignore all that emotional stuff and just key into what God is trying to tell me about what impact I might have had to spur me on, and also to let me know that my life was not lived in vain. And so I think that was a really good thing, because there were people that were writing me and calling me and coming by that I had no idea that the Lord used me in their lives. I just didn't. And, you know, we do that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we think about somebody. Go, oh, I remember when God used them. But I encourage you guys, if that comes to mind, text them. Call, not while you're driving. Call them. Use Bluetooth. But get a hold of them and tell people, because the devil's beating everybody up.
Right.
And see, people look at someone with cancer and they go, oh, they need encouragement. You know what?
Everybody
needs encouragement.
Everybody
does. Because whether it's cancer eating you up or regrets eating you up, people need to hear that they've been used in your life. And I really encourage you guys that if you think about your mom, your grandma, a pastor, someone who witnessed to you before you ever became a Christian, maybe you're not even a Christian, but you're hearing this and going, why am I drawn to this? Oh, I remember that friend of mine in junior high took me to that Bible camp. Call him, find him on Facebook and tell him, you know what? I'm being drawn to the Lord. And you are a part of that story.
A seed you planted maybe days, years ago. That is such a great message right there, because the other day I was listening on the TV and it was talking about this gentleman who I don't know, but everybody in the newsroom was talking about this gentleman and how much impact he had and how what a man of integrity he was. I don't know who he is, don't know his name, nothing. But this gentleman already died, and now they're saying all of this. Nothing was said while he was alive, and I was saying to myself, you know, gosh, it's too bad that we don't do this before somebody is gone. And what you're saying is exactly the same thing. So yes, I just tell every person out there to write a note, pick up the phone. It's better than texting and emailing, but if that's all you're going to do, then just do it, because at least do something. But calling and talking or writing a note and having it go through snail mail, it's a wonderful thing. And please don't hesitate, because we never know. Our days are numbered, and we don't know how many numbers. We don't know how many days we have left. So that's a great message right there. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show and Maureen Schaefer on KKLA.
Yeah, I think it's important, too, to slow down enough to remember people that had an impact on your life, too, you guys. Because, you know, we're in L.A. or wherever, somewhere, and I guess this is all the way up and down California, whoever. We're in America, okay?
Yes.
We're busy people. I teach English to kids from other countries, and I always say, I know we talk fast because we're Americans and we have a lot of important things to do. And because of that, we live in the moment, and we're always planning for the future, that we don't take time to look back. I mean, and God did that every day during creation. He stopped, and it says he beheld that it was good. He didn't run to the next day. Oh, now we're going to make animals. He stopped and, oh, look at the light that rules the day. And look at the light that rules. Even God took time to just look back on everything that's been done. And, you know, slow down. Get off of the social media. Turn off the radio. Turn off the TV. And just ponder and allow the Holy Spirit to show you people in your life that have had a profound impact. Because, you know, the devil can lie to you, but you just don't notice it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like I think of Hagar when she's out in the wilderness and she was crying and she was so thirsty and her son was going to die. And it says that the Lord like caused her to see the well, but she was crying so much she didn't see the well. She didn't see the provisioning. And I think we have to just really take the time to slow down and let yourself realize what impact people have had in your life as well.
And I just want to say a big thank you to Kate, who recommended that Maureen come on the show. Just thank you for stepping out and getting in contact with me and letting me know of Maureen and her story and everything. It has been so wonderful, Maureen. And we have a few minutes left. I'd like to know, you know, you teach Bible study, right?
Yes.
And so you have a passion for scriptures. I can tell just by listening to you that, you know, you dive into the word. and you've got your Bible out, and you've got highlights on that Bible. And I tell this story about my daughter. She went away to Italy for her junior year in college. She studied abroad. And I don't know if it was on accident or on purpose, but she took my Bible. And the beautiful thing of that is I was left without my Bible with all of my notes and everything. But the beauty of it was my daughter got to know me in a whole different, intimate way, because she was reading all of my notes in all the, you know, all the pages and all my highlights and everything. So it was very special. I was so happy to get my Bible back. But she had written little notes in my Bible now. So I'm reading what she's written, and so I'm getting some of her. So it's really kind of precious and special. So with that, do you want to talk about your darkest moments, or would you rather talk about scripture? What would you want to talk about? We have 2 minutes left.
2 minutes.
So 2 minutes left. So what do we want to talk about?
Well, I just want to, I think that, you know, it could tie in together, the darkest moments and the scripture.
Okay.
You know, the word is the lamp for our feet, and it's a light to our path.
I love that. As a deer panteth for the water. I love that song.
When you're given something in your life that is new, new territory, something, a road you've never walked before. Even roads that you normally walk and they're not lit, it's hard to walk them. But an unfamiliar path that's lit is easier to walk than a familiar path that's dark. And I know for me, the scriptures were very precious to me when I was first diagnosed. But at one point during treatment, when I ended up on a feeding tube for, you know, a few months and I wasn't able to eat at all, and I was on very high levels of narcotics, so I couldn't think and I couldn't even read. And I remember I sat there and I'm going, I can't go to church. I can't read the Bible. Like, everything that's supposed to encourage me, I can't take in. Even food can't even get into my body unless I put liquid in a tube in my stomach. And I would just lay there, and I had to kind of go back, kind of like when Joseph told Pharaoh, hey, when there's a whole lot of food, you need to put it away, because we're going to have years where there's not going to be any. And I just want to encourage people that while you're healthy, go to the retreat. While you're able to think, have your daily devotions, because it can be taken away from you. And if you don't have a reservoir, you know, a reserve in the back of your mind and heart, you're going to really be hurting. I know now, I go to bed at night waiting to wake up to spend time in his presence, because I couldn't even connect with God when I was so sick due to the drugs and things in my, I couldn't do it. So you guys, if you're healthy, don't say, I'll stay home and watch the show. If, you know, you're supposed to be at a certain Bible study that you know God has called you to, store up during the times of plenty, because you just don't know when the famine's going to come, and you need that light. Have the batteries and the flashlight before the power goes out, and then you're going to be able to navigate through unfamiliar territory with his word lighting your path.
So every morning you're reading scripture and having your devotional time.
Oh, I don't even want to go to work. I just want to stay there.
That is so awesome. Maureen, I just really, really thank you so much for being part of the show today. I'm going to put a little star next to the show, because you've encouraged me so much.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And boy, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, we need that encouragement, don't we, just to get through each day. And to hear this woman's story and what she's going through, I don't know about you, but it makes me feel like my problems are slim to none comparatively. And the attitude and just everything that was said, I'm holding on to it. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Until next time, be a blessing to someone each and every day. Have your devotion. Listen to this show more than once, because there were so many golden nuggets in this show, and I just don't want you to miss one of them. And I know the Lord doesn't want you to either. And most of all, just look up, reach up, ask him into your heart if he's not there already, and just ask him to guide you. Thank you so much, and God bless.
You've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.